Moin und herzlich willkommen zu einer ganz neuen Folge der digitalen Sprachberatung. Einem Format, bei dem ich dir gerne über den Tellerrand hinaus und außerhalb unserer Öffnungszeiten vom Kiteshop eine Beratung der Superlative anbieten möchte. Und so kommt es dazu, dass ich Podcast-Episoden aufnehme mit Menschen, die Produkte testen, Produkte mitentwickeln oder sogar selbst als Chefentwickler designt haben. In dieser Episode sprechen wir mit Steven Akkersteig, den ich in Kapstadt getroffen habe, als ich 3-4 Monate vor dem Release von dem Core XR8 Kite beim Testen mich mit ihm zusammengesetzt habe und wir uns mal über die Vor- und Nachteile vom XR8 Kite ausgetauscht haben. Ich wünsche dir sehr viel Spaß bei dieser Podcast-Episode und solltest du Fragen zum Produkt haben, erreichst du mich per Mail über die Adresse support@kite-buddy.de, natürlich auch über die Telefonnummer von unserem Kite-Shop oder du kommst einfach mal bei uns im Shop persönlich vorbei und du hast sogar bei uns dann auch die Möglichkeit, den Kite zu testen und einfach mal aus Wasser zu gehen und zu sehen, was dieser Kite kann. Viel Spaß beim Zuhören. So, Steven, good to see. I try it again. It's what I tell you in the podcast before. It's always difficult for me to start a podcast.
Yeah, I thought you were actually going to use that as an intro.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. It was the same I thought. Can you see how I'm getting red? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, Steven, we're sitting together in Cape Town, and we like to talk about the XR kite. There are a lot of people that are interested in that kite, and how would you start to talk about the XR kite?
Yeah, exactly. Most people don't really know me as an XR rider, and I think that's quite simply because I'm not an XR rider. In a way that when I travel, it usually doesn't make it to my board bag. Generally, when I travel with my girlfriend, we fly to places and we have 180 kilos of gear with us, split between us. So. And in that board bag, you'll find a lot of surfboards, kite foils, twin tips, but pretty much all kite disciplines. And I think, therefore, the XR doesn't make it in. The XR is an amazing kite, don't get me wrong. It's an amazing kite for anything twin tip related. And if your main focus is on twin tipping, the XR is most probably the kite for you. I think 90% of the people actually love the XR. But when you also start doing all those other sports with the frequency that I start doing it, it's just not the kite for you. Then maybe the Nexus could be a nicer kite to go riding on. That all being said, though, I have been part of a couple of the XR shoots, and then I also need to ride the XR a lot. And I've enjoyed it so much because it's such an easy kite to ride.
Yeah, true.
And an easy kite to progress on. So if you're riding with a Nexus, for instance, which is the kite I usually ride with, your timing needs to be quite good in order to jump high, let's say. If you want to jump high, you need to have the correct timing. You need to take off at the good moment. You need to pull your bar down at the good moment. You need to steer a kite at the right speed. And with the XR, you can screw up a couple of those points and you will still go high, which is not necessarily good because I would say technique is always better than just pure luck when it comes to jumping. But for that particular reason, if you're a weekend warrior or your main thing is big air, I really think that the XR is such a good kite because it's easy to progress. You don't need to worry about timing if you want to learn that new trick, because even without the right timing, you can probably still land it because the kite just covers for you. You pull the bar down, you go up.
Yeah.
You pull the bar down while you're falling out of the sky, it will catch you.
Yeah.
Like, it will put you down a lot softer. And I think that's the perfect example of the XR. It's not necessarily a kite that's just for beginners. It's great for beginners because it's really easy to ride. But it's also great for the people that actually want to boost super high, break world records, which if you look at the Woo leaderboards, for instance, I think you'll find a lot of XRs in there.
Yes, but there's one thing I always think about it. Jumping high is also a theme, is a theme in English?
A theme or a topic.
A topic. It's always a topping. This topping heads. Yes, right. There is a topic that you jump high as faster a kite goes up. So this is also another point of view of jumping high, because I also know the leaderboard was long time also with a Ozone Edge, and then came the XR7 or 6 maybe this time, and this time, and they also jumped so high. But in that time also people you take in competitions also the GTS kite, and it also jumps very high. What is the difference of a physics behind that, or of the what did the physics of flying the kite, and what did the shape of a kite in this jumping moment?
The shape makes a massive difference in the way of your timing and how you need to steer your kite. Like, a lot of people actually think, and I've heard it way too many times, just send it. And I totally disagree with when people say that, because just send it means like, okay, just put your kite really low in the wind window, steer it up as fast as you can, and jump off just before it hits.
And this is the simplest physics to understand how we jump. You turn something up into the other direction, in this case up, and it lifts you.
Yeah, but it needs to lift you in the right direction. So that's the one thing that I don't like, when people set their kite up really low and just steer it to the other side of the wind window. Yes, you will get lifted out of the water, but your kite will lift you forwards because it doesn't fly along the edge of the wind window.
Yeah,
and I think that's the main problem, or something that a lot of people do. They steer their kite too fast. And back in the days when people were riding sea kites or kites with low aspect ratios, this was important, because speed, the faster the kite flies, the more lift you create. And that is still true to our kites now. The more wind goes over your kite and under your kite, the more lift your kite will generate. So you can just say, well, if I steer it from one side of the wind window to the other, it will generate a lot of speed and therefore a lot of lift.
Yeah.
Which is true.
But you can't land it, because, and this is what I saw a lot of times when people jump with Wusens, or they steer with a kite, but the kite goes up and the body drives in this direction, so they hanging under the kite and fell on the back.
Yeah, they get launched
out.
Yeah, they don't get launched straight up. They get launched kind of forward.
Yeah.
And those jumps are very, very hard to land. And with the XR, for instance, you can steer your kite super slow. Just place it at either 1 if you're riding to the right, or place it at 11 if you're riding to the left. Slowly steer it up to 12. And once the kite hits 12, you try to... Well, just before the kite hits 12, you try to edge into the wind, because if you go into the wind, there's more wind going over your kite as well, because you're taking off into the wind, and you can simply just pull your bar down and the kite will lift you up.
Yeah.
And I think this is one of the superpowers of the XR. You pull your bar down and you go up, where, for instance, the GTS or the Nexus, they need to fly fast in order for them to create power or lift.
Yeah.
And the timing becomes so much more important once you're riding a GTS or a Nexus to jump high, where the XR, obviously if you want to jump really high, the timing is super important. But let's say jumps up to 5 meters, 6 meters, your timing is not that important, because the kite will do the work for you.
Yeah. And there's also a very important thing, if you're up in the air, to stay there. There's also a lot of difference. Can you tell me something about that?
Yeah, so the XR is a kite with quite a high aspect ratio and little arc Aspect ratio is basically how wide the kite is. So if you look up and you see more of a square kite, that's a very low aspect ratio kite.
Well, it's in German, Streckung des Kites.
Ah, Streckung. Okay. Yeah. So, but if you look up and you see a very rectangular kite, that's that's more longer, then you have a high aspect ratio kite. And generally, high aspect ratio kites can generate more lift.
Yeah.
The XR, for instance, is quite a high aspect ratio kite that uses a lot of its surface areas for lift and less for steering. If you look straight from the front, the kite is not really shaped as a sea kite, but it's more open. It's like a bow kite.
Yeah.
And that is why it generates so much lift and power when you pull the bar down. Versus, for instance, a Nexus, which uses a lot of its surface area in the wingtips for steering.
Yeah.
So that's why a Nexus steers a lot quicker, for instance, than the XR, but it doesn't generate as much lift as the XR.
Yeah. So, and what about the hang time? How can we... we come back. Yeah, we come back to that. It's fine.
I totally forgot about that. So hang time is the same. Because the XR...
It's the same physics. If you look on the shape of a kite, you also can directly see that this is a kite because of a high aspect of a kite, it will hold you longer in the air.
Yeah, basically. So one way to just look at it is look at the kite straight from the front. So imagine your kite is at 12 o'clock and you're able to look straight in the kite from 20 meters high. If a lot of the surface area from the kite is being used to generate lift, it will keep you up in the sky for a lot longer.
Yeah.
And if your kite looks like a C, and that means that probably a third or maybe half of the kite is being used for steering, then it won't keep you up for that long.
Yeah.
Less hang time.
Yeah. So, and then I think maybe there's for mindestens one point. Steven is from Netherlands, so he understands a little bit German.
Quite a bit.
Quite a bit. I heard it. I think I heard a video, I saw an interview with you where you talk in German. Yeah. There is one out there, I think so.
This is
möglich. But I didn't ask at the beginning of the podcast, so we have to stay in English. So I'm okay with that. One of the other important thing when I think about to buy a new kite is riding upwind.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about this?
Yes. Definitely. So riding upwind, that's a very technical one if we're going to break it down. Because a little mind breaker. Actually curious. Let's ask the listeners. So for riding upwind, do you think it's better to ride fast or to ride slow? Just think, if you need some time, just pause it right here, and then we're going to come back with the answer just now.
Yeah, no, we don't pause it, because if we wait longer, the answer wouldn't be better.
Na gut, vielleicht nutzen wir die Pause doch, um ein wenig drüber nachzudenken oder um etwas ganz Besonderes mit dir zu teilen. Seit nun glücklicherweise über 10 Jahren habe ich das Privileg, Menschen bei mir im Kiteshop beraten zu dürfen, um mich hauptberuflich den ganzen Tag mit dem Thema Kitesurfen und deren Produkte beschäftigen zu können. Und so habe ich mir mal als eine ganz besondere Aufgabe vorgenommen, mein Wissen der letzten 10 Jahre runterzuschreiben und verschiedene E-Books, sogenannte Kaufratgeber, zu entwickeln. Und da wir jetzt gerade über einen Kite sprechen, möchte ich dir gerne mitteilen, dass du in den Shownotes von dieser Podcast-Episode einen Link findest zu meiner Webseite. Und dort kannst du dir den Kite-Kaufratgeber kostenlos runterladen, ohne noch nicht meine E-Mail-Adresse hinterlegen zu müssen oder sowas. Ich schenke es dir und möchte einfach nur, dass du dich weiterentwickeln kannst inhaltlich und so die für dich richtige Kaufentscheidung treffen kannst. Für alle, die nicht ganz so gerne lesen, hey, ich bin genauso wie ihr. Und Aufgrund dessen habe ich mir die Mühe, aber auch die Freude gemacht, ein Hörbuch für dich einzusprechen zum Thema Kite kaufen bzw. den Kite Kaufratgeber für dich 1:1 mit größter Mühe und Liebe zum Detail eingesprochen. Den Link dazu findest du ebenfalls in den Shownotes von dieser Podcast-Episode. Und ich glaube, jetzt kann ich Steven wieder die Antwort geben. Viel Spaß weiterhin beim Zuhören und ich freue mich, dich kennenzulernen.
I think the answer is you shouldn't write too fast and not too slow. So
that's
a good rescue.
That's a very good answer.
Yeah,
very politically correct right there. So sometimes you see people, if they want to ride upwind, especially on bigger kites, is they ride fast. And fast is, for me, fast is more than 30 kilometers an hour. It's hard to say how that translates to your feeling. But some people want to have power in the kite. They want to feel that the kite is really pulling them. And the easiest way to see this is just looking at your spray. If somebody is riding with a lot of spray, they're riding fast. But if you're riding fast, your kite will actually sit deeper in the wind window and will pull you more downwind.
This is something what I didn't understand, because it's only what I think. So one reason why the XR kite is going better upwind is because it stays more in the Windfensterrand. So, and if you look on a freestyle kite, it's more in the middle, so it goes not so much upwind. So only from how I understand why a kite goes upwind is because it stands in a Windfensterrand,
and it's because it's more on the edge of the wind window with power.
Yeah,
that's kind of the thing. And
if you ride, if a kite flies faster, it goes more to the edge of no. It
well
falls down.
If a kite flies faster,
yeah,
then it will fly more towards the edge of the wind window. But if you ride faster, it also means that there's more wind on the kite.
Yeah.
And this will push the kite back into the wind window.
Ah, okay. That means, okay, I understand it, because you have the larger front tube and the air that comes on the front tube push it back. Okay, I understand.
Yeah. And therefore, the faster you ride, the more the kite will get pushed back into the wind window.
Yeah.
We're going to get really deep into this. The wind window actually changes due to apparent wind, but that's an entire different talk and quite hard to understand in a podcast, I think.
Yeah, I think a video will be.
But generally saying, the faster you ride, the more wind will hit the leading edge of the kite, and therefore it will push it back into the wind window due to the drag.
Yeah.
That makes it really hard to ride upwind.
Yeah.
The slower you ride, the less wind pushes on the leading edge of the kite, and the kite will go more to the edge of the wind window. And this is where it's important that you need to ride slow, but not too slow. If you ride very slow, that means that you don't have to steer your kite up and down to create power, but it's just enough, you're riding just fast enough that it pulls you and keeps pulling you.
Yeah.
And this is why the XR is so great for riding upwind, because the moment that you don't have any power anymore, or let's say the wind becomes a bit less and you notice that you're starting to sink down a little bit in the water, you just pull the bar down on the XR and it will create enough power to keep you going.
Yeah, and this is the thing, you feel directly that the kite moving forward, and you get a push on your body.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it will pull you forwards, where with other kites, like the Nexus, for instance, which sits a little bit more on the edge of the wind window, it's harder, because as soon as you ride too slow, you'll probably have to steer the kite a little bit up and down, because the Nexus generates more power if it flies faster. And due to the higher aspect ratio of the XR, it's actually easier to just pull the bar down and get the power like that.
Yeah. So that means in light wind, I have to work more with a Nexus kite to go up and down. This is something what I like, but it would be easier not to do this. But in the end, we can say that the X-Air kite got a better upwind performance as a Nexus kite and as all the other core kites.
Yes, I think in especially in light wind conditions, the XR will perform a lot better pulling you upwind.
Yeah.
Or giving you better upwind performance. But I think if the wind really picks up and you're overpowered, then the Nexus will be better because the Nexus sits more on the edge of the wind window.
Yeah.
And the diameter, the thicker diameter of the XR, which creates the lift and the easiness of riding, will actually make it sit back a bit further and therefore make it harder to go upwind.
Now I learned a lot of going upwind, really. I didn't know that in this view. You give me a new view to think about it. Nice. Thanks for that.
Yeah. Pleasure.
Yeah.
So that's why, for instance, I would always say, like, don't ride your XR too overpowered. And that's actually also a reason why people think I need to grab a massive kite, a big kite. The biggest kite is better to jump high. I need to be really powered up. But it's the same thing. Your kite, if it's very big, it has a big leading edge.
Yeah.
It will have a lot of drag. It will sip deeper in the wind window. And when you do a jump, it will pull you more forwards.
Yeah.
And it's going to feel like a really long and high jump.
Yeah.
But it's actually using most of the power to go forward. Where if you would take one kite smaller, and not saying that you should be steering a kite up and down to get power, but if you take one size smaller to not be too overpowered, it will pull you up higher.
Yeah.
Because the kite is really on top of you when you take off, and you'll actually jump higher.
Yeah, and also with another view, it means with a higher diameter, the kite couldn't fly fast enough to the top because the wind breaks the movement of a kite. And when you reach the top that you could reach with this size, the wind is also only pushing the kite over the water. So
down deeper into the wind window.
You didn't jump high, you jump long.
And far.
And far is a good word. Okay. So that's about it. But also, if we talk about control of a bar, I think this is one thing. When I start kite surfing, there was only the XR2 kite and the GTS2.
Yeah.
And there was something I liked about the XR kite. It was you position your kite and you don't need to do anything with a kite. The kite pulls you, have a lot of Grundzug power.
Yeah.
And it stays on the same position. And in the beginning of the XR2 kite, it was also difficult to stop the kite.
Yeah.
Can you remember it? It was, you want to stop and it moves and moves.
Yeah.
It was very special then time.
Pulling harder,
yeah.
Pulling harder, and then you need to put your ass in the water to slow down.
Yeah.
Definitely in overpowered conditions. And I mean, that's the big difference between the XR and all our other kites in our lineup, be it the Nexus, be it the GTS, the Section, and even the X-Lite, that the Grundzug, as you say, the power of the XR is really, you pull the bar down and you get power. In English, we call it sheeting.
Yeah.
Sheet the bar in, pull the bar in, and go.
Yeah.
Sheet and go.
Sheet and go, yeah.
And that is really, really good with an XR. You just pull the bar down and it pulls you. Where the GTS, the Nexus, the Section, you need to steer the kite to get going. And that's why the XR is actually great for beginners. Because you can really just slowly steer a kite down, pull your bar down, and focus on your board.
Yeah.
You don't have to focus on, oh, I need to steer my kite up and down to get power.
You can do a lot of things wrong and have a good day on the water with that kite. Yeah. Except one thing I see a little bit different to you. You just say it's good for beginners. If I think about some lighter womans, I wouldn't sell them, or I would say they should buy a Nexus kite, because if you're lighter, and sometimes womans are much lighter than boys.
Oh, most of
most in best cases. Then they feel scared about the Grundzug of a kite, because the XR got a lot of power. So this is something where I would say in the beginning, maybe lighter persons, 65 kilocalorie.
No calorie?
Yeah, it's something. This is also something else.
65 kilograms or less. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say pounds, but pounds is also another calculation. Will be too difficult for me, so I'm out of that.
Yeah, I'm also out of pounds. Yeah. I definitely agree with you there. And something to add there is that the XR is a 5-strut kite, so it has a leading edge and has 5 struts, where the Nexus is a 3-strut kite, and so is our GTS and our section. They're all 3-strut kites. And what you get if you take one of those struts out is you create a lighter kite.
Yeah.
And a lighter kite flies better with light winds.
Yeah.
Especially if you are a lighter person and you're 65 kilos or less. Then the moment where the XR starts flying and doesn't fall out of the sky because it's too heavy,
yeah,
might be very close to the moment where you are overpowered and there's too much power or Grundzug in the kite. And especially for those moments, I think the Nexus is definitely the better choice for the lighter riders, because it is a lighter kite that flies with, let's say, 2 knots less than a Nexus. It will fly 2 knots less than an XR. The Nexus will fly a lot nicer.
Yeah.
And then you can even go further with that. For instance, our X-Lite, which is a 1-strut kite, which is designed for foiling, and that will then again perform better with 3 knots less than a Nexus. So like that, you really have an XR, which is an amazing kite, but if you're a light person, definitely I think the Nexus might be the better option for you.
Yeah. So maybe in German, Steven, wenn du die Eigenschaften des Kites zusammenfassen würdest, was wäre das dann?
I'm going to reply to this one at least in English.
Yeah, it's okay. I try that you do it in German, but it's okay. Feel good.
So die XR hat sehr viel Kraft auf die Bar. Man kann einfach die Bar anziehen und der Kite wird dich mitziehen. Dadurch ist die XR sehr einfach zu fahren, einfach zu springen, und wenn man neue Dinge ausprobiert, man muss nur die Bar anziehen und der Kite bekommt Kraft. Mhm. Die Timing ist nicht so wichtig, zum Beispiel wie bei einem Nexus oder GTS, weil bei Nexus und GTS ist es sehr wichtig, was... Yeah, it's a bit hard in German.
It was
by try. So just to round it up, the XR, it's very easy to ride. You just pull the bar down, you get power.
Yeah.
And this makes it very appealing to a wide range of people. The Nexus and GTS both need to ride with more speed. So you can generate that speed by riding faster, or you can generate that speed by steering the kite faster and up and down. And this makes the kite a little bit more technical to ride, especially if you want to jump. It's more important how you time your jump, how you steer your kite. So I think that in general, the XR is such a great kite for everybody who's starting.
Yeah.
Because it makes it easier to the big air riders that want to jump high. And I think this is about 80 to 90% of the dedicated twin tip riders. As soon as you start involving foiling or wave riding, then you might want to look a little bit further to, let's say, a Nexus, because the Nexus is a lot better at wave riding than the XR is. Of course, you can still wave ride on the XR, but it's not the best experience. And for those people, the Nexus might be slightly better.
And I think back in the days, the first tricks that you learn is a jump transition. It's a back roll. It's a back roll transition. Yeah. And this is also small tricks that you can learn very easy with an XR kite, because you don't, you only lift the kite a little bit on to 12, steer the bar and pull the bar. And it generates so much hang time that you can rotate very easy and you have enough time for that. Yeah. So I think this is also for the, for the first learning on tricks, a very good kite that you can use.
Yeah, exactly. You just pull the bar down and it creates power, which cuts out all the timing.
Yeah.
Or it makes timing easier, and therefore it's great to learn those new tricks.
Ja. Steve, vielen herzlichen Dank, dass du die Zeit für uns genommen hast, über den XR-Kite zu sprechen. Herzlichen Dank.
Ja, bitte. It was my pleasure.
Jetzt kommen wir zum Ende von der Podcast-Episode, wo du mich wohl das erste Mal Englisch sprechen gehört hast. Ich habe mir größte Mühe gegeben, das so gut wie möglich für dich zu machen. Eins sei schon mal an der Stelle verraten: Steve und ich, wir haben mehrere Podcast-Episoden in Kapstadt für dich aufgenommen. Und die werde ich natürlich Stück für Stück mit dir teilen. Darauf darfst du dich schon mal verlassen. Falls du jetzt dich intensiver mit dem Kite auseinandersetzen möchtest, ihn einfach mal testen möchtest oder noch weitere Fragen hast, dann weiß ja, wie du mich kontaktierst. Ob per Telefon, Mail oder persönlich im Kite-Shop. Ich und mein Team, wir freuen uns darauf, dich persönlich kennenlernen zu dürfen. Und ich wünsche dir eine geile Zeit auf dem Wasser.